Pray with me. Lord, open our hearts to your word today, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's scripture was a parable. Parables are stories that have a point to make through the telling of the story. And parables were one of the many ways that Jesus was able to teach during his earthly ministry. He was a great storyteller and had a unique way of getting to the heart of the matter in such a way that people would walk away from the encounter with Jesus with more wisdom, with more understanding, and more clarity as to who God was. And some of Jesus' parables are very well known, and we tell them over and over again, some to the point that they've even gone beyond their biblical presence, and people tell them as if they were just parables from the wisdom of the world. Others of his parables are more obscure. But parables have always also been a source of great disagreement amongst scholars. Even the ones that we think have the clearest, most obvious meanings sometimes do not mean what we thought they meant. But the important thing about parables is this. They reveal to us an image of God, an image of who God is, an image of what the kingdom of God is like, and it is up to us to listen to them, to read them, and to ask ourselves this simple question: what does this tell me about God? And then this simple question: what does this tell me about me? And then finally, how does this help me understand my practice of faith better? Our journey of faith, on our journey of faith, we need to think deeply about our faith. And parables, as simple as they might seem, give us great opportunity to do that. Today's scripture is not a long parable, and it's actually told in concert with another parable. And it's told in response to a challenge from the Pharisees that Jesus faced. And it actually highlights one of the contrasts between Jesus and the Pharisees that I like a lot. The Pharisees, like Jesus, are interested in revealing the truth. And like Jesus, they are also interested in highlighting who God is. But they take different paths. Jesus likes to reveal the truth through stories and connecting to people, whereas the Pharisees often relied on laws and being distinctive from the rest of the people. As Jesus shares these parables, he is showing us very clearly that he desires to be connected to the people because he desires for them to know who he is and, most importantly, who God is. Jesus uses examples in this parable that indeed speak to the people of the time. He uses examples that they can relate to and understand, and in his teaching, Jesus actually uses these examples in a desire to make God more accessible to people. It is his desire to teach them about who God is and can be in their lives. And today's parable, you might notice, has to do with a recurring theme that I've been preaching on all summer, the theme of newness. I've spoken about new hearts, new cultures, new creations, new songs. All of this for the purpose of encouraging us to fully embrace God's call to newness and renewal in our hearts, in our churches, and in our community. We are called to be new and to be renewed in the practice of our faith. With that calling comes also a special call to responsibility in how we handle our newness. You see, newness and renewal and being new all bring challenges along for the ride. With renewal comes responsibility, and Jesus conveys the truth with a story about wine and a story about clothes. Now, I'll be open with you here. This parable has not always resonated with me on a personal level at times at all, because it deals with two activities I don't participate in. I don't drink wine, and I don't sew. I have no problem with people who do either one, but it's not me. But Jesus, ever the wise teacher, knew something. He knew that his words had to resonate with the people of his time, and his words did. Parables have a base in wisdom and a relatable premise, and they have to have a point that has meaning to those who are hearing the parable. This is the exciting point for us, is that all these years later, the wisdom of the parable is not lost to us in the analogy. Even those who do not fully understand do not lose the meaning. Jesus is helping these people fully understand what it means to be new. Being new is not just about changing to something different. It's not about getting rid of just what's old. Being new is more than simply declaring a behavior or a practice to be outdated. Being new needs to be done properly, and in our context as Christians, it needs to be done in such a way that we are honoring Christ and pointing to God. Newness in the absence of God's presence is simply difference, and difference is not enough. To get to this point, Jesus shares the short parable that starts off with a simple declarative statement: no one tears a piece from an old garment and sews it on an old garment. This is a statement that a seamstress or a tailor would easily understand, because they know that sewing a new patch to old fabric wouldn't work, because the new patch would not match and it would tear away from the old fabric. Jesus' point is simple to me, that being new for the wrong reasons or applied in the wrong way is not going to be sufficient for the garment, and it's not going to be sufficient for us as we live and practice our faith as individuals and as a called congregation of believers. He continues the analogy by bringing up wine and wineskins. He reminds people and us that putting new wine in old wineskins will cause the wineskins to burst, to be destroyed, and for the wine to be wasted. Again, Jesus' point is that we must use what is new with responsibility and appropriate care and caution. We cannot use new or create new without considering how to put it into practice. And we have to be careful here, though, because it would be very easy to interpret Jesus' remarks as anti-old or even anti-new, but they do emphasize the importance of keeping new in the proper context. And we also have to make sure that we are considering his final remark in this section of Scripture. We have to be mindful that he talks about how easily a person can slide back into the old, forgetting the value of the new. This fits in with the rest of what Jesus is saying about the value of not only the new, but the proper application of it. Jesus does emphasize new, and he emphasizes the understanding or the need to understand the power of the new up and against the power that the old seems to hold over us sometimes. Something to consider here is this, though. Jesus is not trying to create a new church. Jesus was not interested in starting a new denomination or a new religion. He had one major concern, and that was he wanted to make sure that people were connecting to God. He was aware that at the time, most of the religious establishment connected to God through the arduous collection of rules and laws that had built up around Jewish faith and tradition. He also realized this, that adhering to those laws became a powerful set of ritualistic behaviors that could be as confusing as they were demanding and difficult. Jesus spoke of new, and as he spoke of new, he was speaking of moving away from the law as a strict set of rules and moving towards the understanding of the law as a way to connect more intimately and more closely with God. Jesus wants people to have a relationship with God before they have a relationship with the law. Not because the law was a bad thing, but because sometimes adherence to the law made a relationship with God less fulfilling and in some cases even less than possible. People usually represented by the Pharisees were becoming so consumed by the law that their desire to adhere to it was not fully connecting to God in a meaningful way. Now, please don't hear this as trashing the Pharisees or the laws. Jesus thought that both were very important, but he also thought that connecting to God was more important. So how does this apply to us here in 2019? What does this have to do with you and I? We are a church of people who are remarkably different than the church of Jesus' time. Again, in fact, to use the term church is a misnomer. Again, Jesus was not out to create a new church, and the new churches of the New Testament bear little resemblance to the religious organizations of 2019 Western Christianity. Just like Jesus was trying to share the way to have a relationship with God and telling the parable to the people of his time, what Jesus desires for you and for I and for our church is to have a relationship with God, and for that relationship to be meaningful, to be powerful, and to be life-saving. The images of wine and clothing are used to remind us that a relationship to God has to be constantly moving forward. It has to be in a constant state of renewal. This means we have to be seriously careful about falling back into old patterns of faith and old patterns of spiritual expression that not only do not serve to bring us closer to God, but in some cases may even cause us to separate from God. Before I go further, I'd like to make a statement. New and old are not to be universally interchanged for good and bad. One of the problems we encounter in dealing with the issue of change and growth in the life of the church occurs when we hold on to the idea that newer is always better and that older is always worse. This is not the point that Jesus is trying to make. He is not only intimating that new is, he's not intimating only that new is good. He is speaking about attitudes and approaches that are helpful and attitudes and approaches to faith that are not. Our two congregations are now and have been for a long time, for the total time of our existence actually, facing the issue of what change and growth and progress should look like. We have been dealing with the difficulty of how we apply faith to these points in our journeys. This is what Jesus is talking about. How do we change faithfully? How do we grow faithfully? The stark images that Jesus shares are not about the specific value of new and old. They are about what happens when instead of embracing our growth, we choose to simply stay what we used to be. One of the main reasons that churches do not sustain positive change is that they do not take time to embrace the change. Churches cease to grow and cease to be a positive impact on their community because they think that they can capture their growth and change in the way that things have always been done. We in the church are part of an institution that often thrives on the balance and power of its history and past accomplishments, whereas there's nothing wrong about embracing past and history. It can easily become a debilitating exercise if it is the only way that the church conducts itself. It may shock some of you to realize that it's been 5 years since our two congregations celebrated 200 years of history. We each had wonderful celebrations filled with great memories, good music, fantastic stories. Having been a relatively new pastor when that took place, I loved that journey in the church because I was able to learn so much about my new church and my new community. And there's nothing wrong with celebrating that history. And I also love what I call the Pastor's Hall of Fame that you have set up in the Fellowship Hall for the same reasons, because history and the past are powerful. But they are just that, history and the past, and they are no longer who we are exactly. They are part of us and always will be, but if we choose to conduct our new life of our congregations only in terms of the past, then we will not grow in a meaningful way. To fully understand who we are then becomes our task. We have to discover how we are new wine and how we are that new patch of clothing. We have to know these things to be able to fully and truly embrace them as our expressions of faith and Christian community. So what makes us new? Is it that in a few months on this side of the park there'll be a new pastor? Is it the new roof on the building across the park that makes us new? Is it playing a new hymn or learning a new chorus that makes us new? Is it a new mission or a new journey that makes us new? Actually, all these things can and should be a part of what makes us new. But what really makes us new is this. It's that deep and driven and constant seeking after God. The United Church of Christ has a motto, God is still speaking. That's a powerful reminder of what it means to seek and embrace newness. Being new is found in allowing ourselves to still be listening, to be fully open to the moving of God in our lives, in our church, in our communities. And Jesus reminds us in this parable that we cannot allow the newness of God's moving be lost in our desire to hang on to what is old. If we do that, we lose. The wineskins burst, the garment tears, and we are lost. There is a constant pull in the life of any institution, and I think that it's particularly strong in the life of the church. That is the call to rediscovery, the call to renewal. That is the call to be effective and meaningful in change and growth. Calls for renewal occur throughout Scripture. Reminders of God's newness are also prominent throughout Scripture. We in the church cannot afford to conduct our lives and our ministries outside of the striving for the fullness and the understanding of what's new, the newness and renewal of God. To be new is not just to change things, but to be new is to not lose the roots of our faith. To be new is to not lose what God has always been to us. To be new is to not necessarily reject tradition. To be new is to seek after God. We have just celebrated communion, in many ways an ancient ritual, but one that is made new every time we approach the table and seek the renewal of God's forgiveness, God's righteousness, and God's love in our hearts. God has always loved you. That's not new, but it is renewed every day, and God has always loved me. And that's not new, but it's renewed every morning. It is renewed in every moment. It is new in that it changes and has changed who we are and who we can be. It is the new wine. It is the new patch. It is God still speaking to us as individuals, as a church, and as a Christian community. Embrace God's love as new every morning. Don't force it into what you were and who you were before that love changed you. Be fully the new creation that we each are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Lord, continue to touch our hearts by renewing us in a beautiful and powerful way.